Good morning. Today we are starting a new series, and the series is called Respectable Sins. That might sound a bit funny, but it's based on a book called Respectable Sin by Jerry Bridges. So if you want to read ahead of the preacher, you can get a copy of this book. And today I'll be speaking to you about the remedy for sin. That's quite a big topic to talk about. But this series is focused on the sins of believers as opposed to the sins of unbelievers. Of course, it's very common for us as Christians, when we hear sin, to think about every other person in the world apart from ourselves. So the series is focusing on Christians and those sins that we have considered to be acceptable. So next week, Mike will be taking us through the Holy Spirit. But to address the remedy for sin, I have divided this into three sections. And the first is, what is sin? The second is our sinful nature. And the third part is the same as the topic, the remedy for sin. And this morning we have read from Romans chapter 7, from verse 7 to chapter 8, verse 4. There are many definitions of sin, depending on who you're asking. First of all, if you talk about sin in our society, a lot of people won't be able to tell you what sin is or what sin is not, because we live in a culture where it's about self. Whatever makes you feel good, just do it. So in our society, sin is losing its meaning, shall we say. And as this author said, the disappearance of sin. It appears that sin is disappearing from society. In fact, sins have been renamed. Adultery is now called affairs. Stealing is called fraud or given some other names. And so depending on who you are talking to, sin seems to be disappearing from society, or at least the concept of sin. So it's important for us to look at what sin really means. In the Greek word, to sin is to miss a mark. But in the Bible, sin is lawlessness. Sin is rebellion against God. And of course, sin is missing the mark that God has set. As Christians, I believe we are aware of God's laws and commands. Rebelling against those laws and God's command is what is sin. So for example, we read in Romans chapter 7, where Paul said the law allowed him to know about covetousness. He says, you shall not covet. If you then do that thing which God has said you should not do, then you have committed a sin. I think it's important for us to then look at what is our sinful nature. Man, according to scriptures, is inherently evil. And by man, I mean human beings, not just the men in the house, but man as human beings. According to scriptures, we are inherently evil. This is different to what you hear on the radio and television or outside the church. Outside the church, there is a notion or a concept that man is inherently good. But the Bible says that man, by nature, is evil. We are sinners not because we sin. I am not a sinner because I have stolen something or I've lied. Actually, we sin because by nature we are sinners. The Bible says the human nature cannot please God. Our nature, our natural self, is sinful. And that is why the natural inclination of man is to sin. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, Jeremiah says, the heart of man is desperately sick. The heart of man is desperately sick. So by nature, man is very sinful. And I would just like to go back to our passage, Romans chapter 7, and I will read again verse 21 to 24. This is what Paul said. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That is our sinful nature. Every man, every human being you see has a sinful nature. It naturally sins. It naturally rebels against God. So our sinful nature, we always do things against God. And so we have sin, which is rebellion against God. And in fact, we might not be able to understand sin properly, except we understand God himself. God is holy. And not just holy. The Bible calls two times in the Bible, or a few times, in Isaiah and in Revelation, when God's holiness has been described, it's not been said God is holy. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Not once, twice, three times. God is holy. There is no sin in with God. God, the Bible says, God cannot behold sin. But we, as humans, by our nature, we rebel all the time against God. And as I said, this series is focused on Christians. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, I would just like to read that to us. And that is on page 1135, if you are using the church Bible. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So it seems there is a problem. Sin is rebellion against God, is lawlessness. But the sinful nature that we have would naturally sin. And there is God who cannot behold sin. So we need a remedy, isn't it? We need a solution to this problem. Naturally, we would sin. God cannot behold sin. And that is what the focus of this sermon will be on, the remedy for sin. If we go back to Romans chapter 7, and I would like to read verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I serve the law of God with my mind, but in my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If we simply put that in one statement, the gospel is the remedy for sin. And so I will talk a little bit about what the gospel is about. So we understand that our nature is sinful. God cannot behold sin because he's holy. And we as human beings will continue to sin. So God gave us laws. In fact, if you read the Old Testament, you will see more than 600 laws that God gave Israel. But on that law, there is a principle. If you break one law, you are a sinner. It doesn't matter how many you have kept. Just breaking one law makes you a sinner. And when God gave man law, no man or woman was able to fulfill the law of God. So all men, male, female, are sinners before God. And so what did God do? God sent his only son. And that's what we read in Romans chapter 8. He sent Jesus to come in form of flesh, sinful nature, our flesh. And Jesus is the only person who lived under the law and fulfilled the law. The Bible says he committed no sin. In the Old Testament, when you sin, you need some blood to cover your sins. And so people go and look for the most clean animal that is spotless, and they sacrifice it. But that doesn't stop them sinning, because it's nature, it's natural. They keep sinning. God was looking for something that would satisfy him, and it's the blood of a sinless man. And there is only one sinless man who happens to be the Son of God. So Jesus died for our sins to satisfy God. Mike read to us a passage in the book of Romans. And I think that's Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. So it is the blood of Jesus that washes away all our sins. That blood is not for us as much as it is for God. It is the blood that satisfies God. It has nothing to do with us because naturally we continue to sin. But the implication of the blood of Jesus, or the sacrifice of Christ, is that we who have put our trust in Jesus can claim the righteousness of Christ. And so we say our righteousness is not the one we have obtained because we have kept so many laws. Our righteousness is the righteousness that Christ has imputed on us. I cannot claim to be righteous because I have kept all of the laws. In fact, we will see later in this sermon that Christians commit sin. Hence, this book has been written, and there are so many sins in this book. In fact, you read the Bible, when Paul addressed the Corinthians as saints, if you read what is going on within the Corinthian church, you probably say or ask yourself, how can these people be saints anyways? Things that would not even happen outside the church was happening in the Corinthian church. But yet, Paul addressed them as saints. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Christ has died for our sins, and what we need to do is put our trust in Jesus. We as Christians or as people need to put our trust in God. If you want to live under the law, I can assure you, you can never fulfill the law. No man has been able to fulfill the law. But there is an option. You can live under grace. You can live under grace. And that means putting your trust in Jesus. And the righteousness of Christ can become your own righteousness. And that is the gospel. And let me just explain a little bit what it means. When you put your trust in Christ, I will use this illustration. Some of you know that I am an animal lover. I love animals from afar. I don't tend to be close to them. I love them from a distance. Putting our trust in Jesus is like when we are sinners. Let me use the illustration of a pig. So I grew up in a place where I see pigs, not in some pen, but they walk around and they look very dirty. They see all this swamp and they just roll in water and in dirty things. And they are very happy with it. But then cats are very clean animals. The transformation that happens to us when we put our trust in Christ and he gives us his Holy Spirit, which Mike will tell us about next week, is like changing us from a pig to a cat. You know, they are not the same. It's so dramatic that someone changes from a pig to a cat. Of course, the pig has just been changed to a cat. It has to learn the ways of cat. So you might see this cat occasionally jump into the mud and trying to enjoy, because that is its natural place that it will be. But by state, it has changed from a pig to a cat. So saints are sinners, sinful nature, who have been saved by God's grace. And God no longer sees them as pig, he sees them as cat. But I can assure you many times they will go back to the mud to try to play. What it means for us as Christians is we need to continue to preach the gospel to ourselves. Your attitude to sin is an indication of your spiritual state. If you throw a cat in the mud, what do you expect? The cat will try to get out of it. But you cannot say that a cat cannot fall into a ditch or into a mud just because it's a cat. As Christians, we do commit sin. We must acknowledge that. If you do not acknowledge that you sin, and then you think that you are better than everybody else, you will just end up like the Pharisee who went to the temple and said, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like that tax collector." And the tax collector, the Bible said, he would not even look up to heaven, beating his chest. He said, "Lord, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me." The remedy for sin is the gospel. As Christians, you need to preach it to yourself. When you put your trust in God, that's what Romans chapter 8 says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the righteousness of Jesus is their righteousness. But that does not mean that when you sin, as Romans 6:1 says, you just keep on sinning and be claiming that the grace of God is abounding on you. Some versions of the Bible says, God forbid. If I tell you that I've put my trust in Christ, then my life should show you that I have put my trust in Christ. Jesus said, if you want to know a false prophet, say you will know them by their fruit. By their fruit, you shall know them. So when we have put our trust in Christ, our life is meant to bear fruit. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm saying. So Moses in the Bible, I don't know how many of you know about Moses, but Moses is one of the big prophets in the Old Testament, or he was a leader of the Jews, of Israel. Something was recorded about Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 13, and I would like to read that to you. Numbers chapter 12, verse 13. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Moses was the meekest man on the surface of the earth. When you put your trust in Christ, I just gave the illustration of a pig transforming magically into a cat. This new cat is a pig, was a pig. It's just been changed. It's probably got all the mentalities of the pig. But now it's a new animal, shall we say. And it's going to learn to walk in the new way. And that's how we are. We are sinners turned to saints. This Moses did not start his life as the meekest man on earth. He was a very temperamental human being. If you think you are angry, perhaps you are not as angry as Moses. He saw two men fighting, and his own way of settling the fight is to kill one of them. And that was Moses. Very, very temperamental person, full of anger. But towards the end of his life, of all the people on the surface of the earth, the Bible records he was the meekest man. That does not mean that Moses doesn't get angry sometimes. In fact, one time God said, Moses, speak to the rock. You know what he did in anger? He struck the rock. But Moses, from being a very temperamental human being to becoming the meekest man that lived on the face of the earth. And why am I giving you that illustration is to say, when Christ has saved us, he has saved us so that we can become like Jesus. It's a journey that we might become like Christ. And every day, as Moses was walking with God, that trait that he had, that he was famous for, that's why he ran away. He ran away. He was in exile because of his anger. That trait started to move away. And what this means for us as Christians today is we need to remain in Christ. We must understand that the righteousness we have is not because we are so good. We should not just look at the whole world as sinners because we have this nature. Part of the gospel is that once we put our trust in Christ, one day Christ is going to come back. He's going to give us a different nature, not this sinful nature. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible talks about the war between our flesh and the Spirit of God that lives in us. I don't want to talk much about the Spirit of God because next week, Mike will tell us about the Holy Spirit. But just because you are a Christian, just understand that we are looking at this sin in terms of Christians. Christians do commit sin. But it is not a license because you are under grace to be committing sin. Moses gets angry sometimes if you provoke him enough, but he was the meekest man. He was transformed. The reason for Christ in our lives is to transform us. As I said, your attitude to sin is an indication of your spiritual state or your spiritual health. If you are so comfortable to commit sinning or to keep sinning all the time, and in your mind feeling it doesn't matter, then one needs to ask the question whether truly you have known the Lord. But what it means is we as Christians, if we have done something that is wrong, we should go to God and confess that sin. God is not condemning you. God is walking with you so that Christ may be formed in you. But you must have that attitude to recognize when you have sinned, that Lord, I have sinned, help me. And as I said, with time, Christ will start to be forming you. When I gave my life to Christ, I was not preaching to people because I'll probably have nothing to say. But Christ walks in me and is still walking in me. The theologians call it progressive sanctification. You are becoming like Jesus every day. And part of it means recognizing your sins, confessing them to God, and dealing with those sins. It's not enough to recognize your sin and to confess them. It's taking steps to moving away from that. And as you put your trust in Christ, he will continue to shape your life to be like Jesus. When you are in Christ, you are not condemned. God is not trying to condemn you because of the blood of Jesus. And of course, another remedy for sin is to walk according to the Spirit. As I said, we'll be looking more about the Holy Spirit next week. So that the righteous standard of God might be fulfilled in us, according to Romans 8:4. We need to walk according to the Spirit of God. As Christians, you have your sinful nature, which you still have, because we all live in the flesh. And then you have the Holy Spirit. And you have a choice to walk according to the Spirit or to walk according to your flesh. But your a remedy for sin is for us as Christians to walk according to the Spirit. And in conclusion, I just want to say, if you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, you are trying to obtain your righteousness through the law, through doing good, the fact remains that you cannot be righteous just by doing good. It is impossible. But there is an option to you that Jesus has completed all things. You can get a righteousness as a gift. And God can give you his Holy Spirit to transform in your life. You can move away from being under the guilt of sin. Because if you commit sin, there is a guilt. If you are in Christ, God has already transformed you anyways. But when you sin, you must acknowledge it. And as Christians, our attitude to our world, there are all sorts of sins outside the church. Maybe that are not so much common in the church. So respectable sins are sins that we have come to accept, or what we call little sins or normal sins. And you are not committing some so-called abnormal big sins. When you see a man who is committing, let me give a practical example. You see a man who has abandoned his family and has just living a very reckless life. Our attitude as Christians should not be, oh, thank God I'm not like that man. But to actually thank God that if not for Christ, you'd probably be worse than that person. And to look inwards and those things that God needs to work in your own life, that you might daily become like Jesus. We have nothing to boast about than Jesus. I cannot boast that I'm so good. No, it is Christ in me. It is the Spirit of God working in me that is producing fruit. And I pray the Lord will bless his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.